What's up, everyone? Mark Lobliner, TigerFitness.com. Driving to Tiger Fitness HQ in Ohio, and I got this nifty little microphone, so thought I'd be able to do some content on the way, maybe educate y'all, maybe learn a lot from you guys in the comments section below, whatever platform you're on. Again, we're on YouTube, X, Rumble, Spreely with the Evening Rants with Alan and I. By the way, every night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, Monday through Thursday, and sometimes we'll do surprise shows. We have Evening Rants. It's the number one podcast exclusively on X and Rumble every night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. It's more of a current events political podcast, so if you don't like politics, don't watch it. But anyway, guys, let's talk about teenagers competing. So I was looking through some old videos, and I did a video about this, and things have changed since I did that video, and I wanted to kind of revisit that because you go to the gym now because the dominance in social media by young folks like Sam Selleck, like the Trend Twins, like Chris Bumstead, who hits a very young demographic, you have a lot of kids who want to get on stage, a lot of kids who want to compete. Now, since I did that last video, one thing has changed. You have to be 18 years old to compete in the NPC. So, with that being said, there's no more teen division. They got rid of them. So that is not really an issue, but you can still compete in teen divisions across natural bodybuilding organizations. So this applies to that. It also applies to kids getting in such great shape that they are contest shredded. And it might appeal to those of you who might wrestle or do some other weight-based sports, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, whatever it is. Whenever you have to cut weight or get below an absurd level of body fat. Now, the issue with competing that we can talk about is the urge of young individuals to do, you know, steroids or PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs, to get into that kind of condition. Now, this has been beaten like over the head. It's beaten like an old drum over and over and over. The dangers of kids or people who are not fully developed, people under the age of, I'll even say in their mid-20s, hopping on steroids. It can create long-term endocrinological disturbances. It can, you know, lead to infertility in some cases. In men, I'm speaking specifically, we'll get into women in a second. But when males get down to such a crazy level of body fat, be it for bodybuilding, for wrestling, for jiu-jitsu, or any weight-based sport, you have an issue where your body is gonna suppress its hormonal output. Because your body goes into this natural feast or famine mode. Your body goes into survival mode, as we like to call it. So when your body is in a survival mode, that means that food is scarce. That means that you don't want to have a family, because if you can't afford or if you can't provide food for yourself, how are you going to do that for your new kids, right? For a new baby. So your body has this kind of mechanism built in evolutionarily that if you deprive yourself, your hormones go to shit. They just do. So when kids get to this level of condition, well, again, whether it's for wrestling, bodybuilding, etc., we're speaking no performance enhancing drugs. It's talking natural only, even just doing it natty. When you get to that competition level of body fat, even if you don't hold it, to get to that level, you're going to be, for 4 to 8 weeks, getting to that level, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And then you get into the other effects. These kids drop water. I see wrestlers do it all the time. Now, during the season, they do have hydration checks at the beginning of the year where they do their best to prevent that. But you have kids still. You do these off-season tournaments. You know, like you go, we were in Iowa. We were in Virginia Beach with Thomas wrestling at Nationals. And the issue is that they don't do hydration checks. So I saw kids drop in 25 pounds in a week. I saw kids drop in 15 pounds. 5 pounds, I'm not going to get mad at that. That's literally wake up, don't eat till 1 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. weigh-in if you got early weigh-in, and essentially just maybe go in the sauna. But it gets pretty extreme. I've seen kids pass out. I've seen a lot of bad things happen. Now, going into bodybuilding, it's a whole nother animal. Because in bodybuilding, let's say you are, they don't do it anymore, but let's say you are even 18. Let's go to 18-year-olds, right? Say you are competing in teen nationals. Let's say, there was a 19-year-old, I believe it was, who just got their, Classic Physique Pro card? Amazing looking individual. But I'm going to assume, for the sake of this video, that this kid is on hormones, that this kid is on steroids. When you take steroids at a young age, your body is still producing. Your body is still kind of developing. It's figuring out what the fuck it's going to do. It's figuring out how to produce these androgens, from an endogenous standpoint, which means from your body. Exogenous means you put it in. Endogenous means it's produced from within, just to give you those definitions. So when these kids, and I say kids, say 18 to 22, when they provide their body while it's still developing with this external source of androgens, a whole host of problems. So you look at when someone, let's say in their 20s, mid-20s, 30s, even 40s, injects testosterone, it shuts down their production, but their body has fully developed. Their body knows what it's going to be. When you're 30 years old, you're not growing taller. Your balls are where they're going to be. And your body has kind of that basis, that homeostasis of where it likes to be. And that's where you can optimize your testosterone, through dietary, making sure you get an adequate fat in your diet, making sure you're not, too low on calories where it's restricting your body's ability to have enough energy to produce these hormones. Right, like your body knows where it's going to be. So let's say you could take natural testosterone boosters. I have one called Insurgent. It has something called Prima V, which might increase your testosterone around 20%. Put that in perspective. 20% increase if my testosterone level is at 100. Say I'm very deficient. I take Insurgent. It goes to 120. Whoop-de-doo. Is it going to be beneficial? Well, yeah. I can argue every point puts you in a more anabolic state, but is it going to be super physiological? And the answer is no. It's not super physiological. It's just getting you 20% higher. 20% isn't that high. If I inject testosterone, depending on the dose, I go anywhere from 1,000 points higher to 10,000 points higher. And when your body goes that far outside of its normal range, I use normal very fluidly. Normal depends, varies based on the individual. Then you have a host of issues that can occur, right? So if you're injecting testosterone, it shuts down your body's ability. So are you prescribed HCG? Do you have gonadotropin? Do you have things to keep the pilot light on so when you do come off that testosterone that your body's able to produce again? Do you have post-cycle therapy? And sometimes that might not even work. And even with post-cycle therapy, you got the psychological issues, right? Because your body, right, it's used to having testosterone at 5,000 or 10,000 or whatever level of testosterone you're injecting, and you cut it down to natural, your body trying to produce naturally, which you're maybe hitting 500, 750, if you're lucky, if you do it perfect, you're going to lose gains. You're just going to lose gains. So psychologically, these kids will be like, well, shit, this sucks. Like, I was getting attention at the gym. No matter what they say, girls like muscle. They just like muscle, dude. Like, I'm an old guy, 43 years old, and my DMs are still lit up with young, attractive women wanting to do things because chicks dig muscle. And with society the way it is, 50%+ of the American population is obese. If you're simply not fat, like, you're the dude. And women are attracted to power, stability, someone who can provide. Do you really think that someone who's fat and sloppy is going to ignite that flame within that woman that's like, wow, this is the dude who can really provide and protect for me? Sure, he can't touch his toes, he can't see his penis, but yeah, that's the fucking guy. Nah. Now, women are attracted to men who can provide, who can protect. That's it. And they like muscle. You know, women, when they're with a man, I'm guessing, I've never been with a man. If I am, I'll let y'all know. Women like to grab on to a man's arm and feel a nice, hard, firm tricep. They like big pecs. They like strong, intimidating shoulders. They don't want to grab onto your jelly rolls while they're on top, while you're on bottom. They just don't want that. They don't want to reach back. They want to reach back while you're on top and grab a hard, firm glute. They don't want to grab onto a fluffy, flat ass. It just is what it is. So you're getting all that attention, right? All these women at the gym. And hey, dudes, nothing feels better. I'm telling you this. Doesn't mean I'm gay. If I was gay, again, you'd be the first to know. And I'd probably tell my wife. You know, dudes coming up, like, I'll tell you what, it still feels good. You know, like I think it was like a couple months ago, Jay Cutler was in town. We're chopping it up. First thing he says is, man, looking like you're in shape, man. That's awesome. I'm like, wow, Jake Cutler said I'm in shape. It was really awesome. You get all this attention, and then you walk through the mall, and you're wearing a tank top. People are looking. Random women are coming up like, ooh, look at him. Mm-mm-mm. Can't even do that. I got a bad thumb. So, like, it's psychologically, it's a brain F. It just absolutely is a brain F when you're just not in the kind of shape that you were in. So when you have these situations and you're not in as good of a shape as you were in, it just makes it where you just want to be on. So you have the issue of overachieving, of becoming really, really, really in shape. And then reality strikes. You're back to natty status, and it just sucks. I've been there. Yeah, I've been there, you know, and it is what it is. You know, you get in that shape, and then you fall out of shape, and then you're like, well, shit. So from an endocrinological standpoint, it's extremely dangerous. So let's go back to competing. Now, the IFBB, the NPC, they're like, nah, don't want it. Don't make enough money from it. And God forbid a kid gets hurt or dies, it's really bad PR. They didn't tell me that's what they're doing, but I'm making an educated guess based on being a business person and, of course, risk aversion. So let's say you compete in the OCB, if they're still around, the ANBF, or any of these natural organizations that offer a teen division. What is the benefit of doing a show at that age? Other than Branch Warren and Jay Cutler, and they competed at a very high level when they were in their teens, I've judged over 100 bodybuilding shows, most of them natural shows. I've done anywhere from OCB to ANBF to Musclemania, you name it, which is the, I don't know if they're still quasi-natural, but they were natural. So, like, I've never seen these teens who come in and compete go on to be anything special, right? Where you go to like a developmental organization in soccer, you know, you could go to like Arsenal or any of those European organizations, Barcelona, like they are producing, even like these feeder organizations in the US, I know Nashville SC has one, where they're gonna produce some really good fucking athletes, because soccer is about touches on the ball, it's about practice, training at a high level with athletes who are at a high level so you can level up. That's how you get better at soccer. How do you get better at bodybuilding? It's generally not by competing. So generally speaking, if you want to get better at a sport, you play that sport more often. You want to get better at baseball, you join a travel team, you play a bunch of games. Want to get better at wrestling, you do it, get as much mat time as possible. Our goal this offseason for my son Thomas, 100 plus matches in the offseason. We've driven to Virginia Beach from it was a 12-hour drive each way, counting stops. We've driven to Iowa. We've racked up over 44 hours of driving, and we're only fucking 1 month in. Bodybuilding, if someone wants to get better, let's say if I win my pro card and I'm in my 20s and I want to get better, what do? I take time off the stage. Because how you get better in bodybuilding is you train. and you don't get into contest shape, because when you get into contest shape, let's say you do a 16-week prep, not only are you taking those 16 weeks off of gaining, but you are essentially erasing some of the progress you made, because you're inevitably going to lose some muscle in the prep process. It's just going to happen. Whether you're on drugs or not, you're going to lose some muscle. You're going to lose some muscle. I don't care how much you dose. When you're losing fat, you're going to lose a little bit of muscle. There are caveats. Again, it's not black and white. Newbie gains. Newbies can gain muscle and lose fat. The more years you train, the better you are, the more muscle you have, the harder it gets. Basically, it's point of diminishing returns on that, right? Like, you know, you're not going to make those kind of newbie gains when you've been training for 30 years like me. So with that being said, my opinion is, here's the conclusion, okay? When you're in your teens, you should be in a constant state of gaining. What that means is you spend 3/4 of the year gaining, and then 1/4 of the year to kind of keep it somewhat not fat, right? So I'm not saying get your body fat over 15%, 20%, say 15 to 20% is a good range. You keep it there. Then let's say that's the first 3/4 of the year. Quarters are basically 3-month blocks. Then let's say for summer, so let's say you go February, March, April, that is your quarter of cutting, or March, April, May, so you look good for summer. So you go hang out at the beach, you get all the attention. But when you're under the age of 22, and I'm gonna say 22, pulling that number out of my ass based on what I've seen and what I know endocrinologically. So between the ages of 18 and 22, I don't think you should be on stage at all. I don't think you should start competing till you're in your low, meaning 22 plus, maybe even 25 to mid 20s. Use that time to put on as much muscle as humanly possible. So when you do get on stage, you're gonna look damn good, you're gonna have a lot of muscle, then you can cut down, and then you can work on the reverse diet or the bulking season, and you can improve from there. But I see no benefit to teens competing. That's my opinion. As for wrestling, jiu-jitsu, whatever other weight-based sport you do, you know, just be cautious. And here's the thing. We had, in our local community of wrestlers, we had a kid who cut down. He was up to 130 in the off-season, this 4 weeks after, cut down to wrestle at 113. We determined quickly at that event that he was wrestling like shit because he had to cut all that weight, lost a ton of strength, ton of muscle, got his ass kicked. We watched the 130s wrestle. This kid, if he would have just cut down to the 126s, lost 4 pounds, that's literally taking a shit, not eating before weighing, he would have probably placed in the top three. This is a tournament with 40 plus kids in his weight class. So put that in perspective, guys. You don't always have to. Now, during the season, again, I have a lot of coaches and parents who watch this and wrestlers, so I want to have a caveat. During the season, if you're 160 and your team has a 160 guy and your coach says, hey, we need a 150, you got to take one for the team. I'm a big team sport kind of guy. So you might wrestle a little bit worse. But the good news is, if you know wrestling, after duels, once you go into state competition, individual competition, remember team duels come before individual. Once you get done with the finals for duels, you get back to your natural weight. And then you could beat the shit out of that 160 who had your spot the whole year. That's the goal. Anyway, guys, hopefully you enjoyed this video. It's a little more nuanced than most bodybuilding channels because I am also Coach Mark. I have a whistle in my bag and everything. Hopefully that helps you guys figure this out. But I don't think teens should compete in bodybuilding. I don't think, and I don't think it should be illegal. I think that's up to the parent and the kid. But we don't have to worry about an NPC because Tyler Mannion is a fucking G. Tyler Mannion, by the way, was an amazing wrestler at the University of Maryland. And I'm not saying that to kiss his ass because he placed me dead last at the New York Pro. I'm saying that because I deserved it, by the way. I'm saying that because I respect people who have done it. And a lot of people don't understand the weights for classic physique. How did Tyler and the NPC organization come up for that? Tyler interviewed a bunch of wrestling coaches. A lot of tie-ins to that, guys. Anyway, hopefully you enjoyed this video. I enjoyed making it. And on these long trips, I'm going to do as much content as possible. When it's light out, I left my house at 3:30. So it just now became sunny out where I could do this video. If you want to support me, go to tigerfitness.com. That's tigerfitness.com. That's my website. Buy all your cool supplements, all your vitamins, Immortal, MTS Whey. See if I could grab this from my bag without crashing my car. Get your Outright bars. Get all that there at tigerfitness.com. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to this channel, click the notification bell. Remember, every weeknight, Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard on rumble.com/tigerfitness and on X. X is at Mark Lobliner. You can go and you can see my evening rant show with Alan Roberts. It's the number one podcast exclusively on X and Rumble, number one primetime podcast. Go ahead and watch that. If you don't like politics and current events and my take on that, you just like the fitness stuff, by all means, don't watch it. But if you do like that kind of stuff, go there and subscribe to my Rumble just in case YouTube wants to get rid of me. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. I'm Mark Lobliner. That's not a game. You have your favorite pre-workout. You love it. You might like to rotate between pre-workout, another pre-workout, another pre-workout. Maybe there's a pre-workout you really like the flavor, but you really want to feel the pump. You really want to feel your best during training. You want to feel every movement, every muscle fiber. You want to feel full. MTS Nutrition Vasc is designed, you can take it alone, but its main benefit is to take with your current pre-workout. It's extremely affordable. All you do is add a scoop of Vasky on top of your current pre-workout. It has the ingredients nitrosigen. Nitrosigen helps with blood flow, just flooding your muscle with blood. Hydromax. Hydromax helps fill your muscle, volumize it, hydrate it. Then we have taurine, another thing that not only helps performance, also helps the hydration benefit. So while you might have a favorite pre-workout, what if we could say we can make it 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, immensely better just by adding one scoop of MTS Nutrition Vasky.